fellowship has been withdrawn from an individual. All of those are vital questions that the Bible has an answer to. And so, folks, we don't do ourselves a disservice when we preach or when we study or when we teach on this topic. In fact, we are doing ourselves a favor when we open up the pages of the Bible and we see what God says about this. Because there's going to be times, given enough time, when things like this will happen. And again, our desire is that when an individual is walking outside of the way that God would have them to walk, when they're walking in a way that is not in harmony with the Scriptures, or disorderly, as we'll look at in a later lesson, that we know how to deal with that. That hopefully we can encourage that person to do what's right, show enough concern and love and compassion toward them that they can make correction of that. And like I said, when earth is over, when this life is gone, that heaven will be their home. And so when we think about the idea of fellowship, and we often use the phrase withdrawing of fellowship, what do we mean by that? And what does fellowship mean? What does fellowship look like? What does the Bible say about that? Are there stipulations to fellowship? Because after all, at the end of the day, if it comes that fellowship is to be withdrawn, what are you withdrawing? We say withdrawing fellowship, but you know, that can be very vague unless you qualify that, because what does fellowship mean and how do you withdraw fellowship? And is it really a withdrawing of fellowship? We need to look at those questions. Because really, what it comes to is an acknowledgement of what has already taken place between an individual and with God, and with an individual and those of like precious faith. And then noticing what the Bible says relative to that. And again, there are so many things that need to be considered before withdrawing of fellowship. But I talked to you last week about how it's difficult to think about this topic and really to practice this topic, because it is uncomfortable many times. It is sporadic in its observance, and there's a lot of questions related to church discipline and what does the Bible say about that. And we've seeked to answer those thus far in our lesson. We'll continue to do that. But this morning I want us to think about, for just a little while, fellowship that is right. Fellowship that is right. Now, the Bible often talks about, in the New Testament, and in the Old Testament talks about the principle as well, about a fellowship that is not right. In other words, a mutual sharing together or participating in an activity or something that we shouldn't be doing. In other words, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, I believe it is, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And so there he's talking about the negative aspect of it. Don't have fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Remember that? And so we need to consider fellowship that is right. Do we have fellowship with God? Do we have fellowship one with another? Are there stipulations to that fellowship? When and if, or when and is, I should say, fellowship severed? Is it ever severed? And if it is severed, on what grounds, what basis is fellowship severed with God or with others? And so I want us to look at that in the lesson this morning. Remember, the Bible has the answer. And I understand completely that there can be some very difficult situations that where the text is clear, but the application of it, we proceed with caution. Because we're interested in doing what's right, aren't you? I am too. We ought to be. And so we want to do what's right. We want to do what's in harmony with the Bible. And sometimes, if we are hasty in things, we can miss the mark. In our overzeal, being overly zealous to hurry up and get things done sometimes, if we're not careful and we don't just step back and really think about what's taking place and how to proceed, we can miss the mark. And so all of that needs to be considered. This is certainly a topic that, while it needs to be considered and studied out, it's one that we don't want to be hasty in without knowing what the Bible says, because a lot of damage and hurt can be done, and sometimes that can't be undone, or is at least very, very difficult to be undone. In 1 John chapter 1, this is a passage that you're familiar with, and John is writing here, of course, he's writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and notice he says, if we say that we have fellowship, there's our word, with Him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship. Now notice what He says. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. Now there's a lot of points that can be made from just that one passage. The fact that He says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, and we are not walking in the light, and we're not walking according to the way that God would have us to walk, and we're not being truthful, He says that we are lying, and we're not doing the truth. If we're walking in darkness, and yet professing that I have fellowship with God. Now I've said in other lessons, and I'll say it again, that sometimes we can be blinded toward our condition with God, can't we? We have to keep things real and give ourselves a reality check sometimes. Is what I'm doing right? Is it wrong? Am I walking in the light as He is in the light? And by the way, to walk in the light as He is in the light is to walk according to the way that His Word says. Psalm 119, 104 and 105. And I've used that passage numerous times in sermons, but it bears repeating. Through Thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Remember that Jesus said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by Me. And so when we walk in the light, we are walking according as His Word, by the way, the only revelation from God to man today, complete, final. And so when we walk according to the Word, we have fellowship with Him, and fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. Now you can look the word fellowship up, and whether it be a Webster's dictionary or some other type of dictionary or some Bible dictionary, and here's what you're going to find: a companionship, characteristic of group solidarity. We're going to look at these definitions briefly, not get bogged down in them, but you're going to see that the underlying gist of those definitions is a joint participation. Laboring together in a common endeavor. Or according to Strong, and these are the Greek words in which you'll find in the New Testament, that the word fellowship was translated from. Participation, a share, an associate, participation, to share in company with, or to co-participate. You get the idea about that. In other words, when the Bible says have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, He's saying don't participate with that. Don't share in that. Don't be in company with that. Don't co-participate in those types of things. Stay away from them. So that's pretty easy to be understood. According to divine communion or fellowship, a sharing in common denotes a partaker or a partner, a partnership to have fellowship with or in. So you understand the meaning of those words. And when the Bible says fellowship, that He's talking about a sharing together. We're talking about a spiritual sharing together. The first occurrence of the word in the New Testament is in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They shared together in that. A mutual participation in that. What is fellowship? Again, as we look at those definitions, I think it's about as easy as I can put it. It's two or more people working together to advance a shared belief in order to reach a common goal. Yes, in the New Testament, when it's used, it's talking about spiritual things. He's not talking about a pizza party. He's not talking about coffee and donuts. He's not talking about those types of things. Now today, the religious world runs rampant with the use of fellowship. And they automatically think of fellowship as us sitting together and having a meal. Well, yeah, that's sharing together in a meal, but that's not what the Bible's talking about when he's talking about fellowship and what they did. He's talking about in religious matters, spiritual things. Can we get together and have a meal? Absolutely. Individually. You can come to my house and eat with us. You have a standing invitation if you want to come and eat with us. Make sure it's not a night when I'm trying to do the cooking. We can do that together. We can go and rent a place or somewhere, go and meet under a tree and eat together. Yes, that's sharing together. That's not what we're looking at. We're looking at the spiritual relationship that we have in the endeavor that we undertake to do, in the work that God would have us to do. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, when James, Cephas, John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. Fellowship with deity. Remember that passage in 1 John chapter 1? It talks about the fact that we have fellowship with God. Notice these references. 1 John 1 verse 3 we've already looked at, but turn if you will to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Something about this laborship with God. That God is doing His part. We are doing our part in service to God. In the context of this, He has reprimanded them because of their division. I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ, I'm of Paul, so forth. Now, don't do that. Who is Paul and who is Apollos but ministers? Whereby you heard it, you obeyed it. One watered it, or planted, and the other watered, but it was God who gave the increase. And then he says, we're laborers together with God. We have fellowship together with God. When we mutually share in those things that God would have us to be doing, and we're walking in the light as He is in the light. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and in verse 1. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, we then as workers together with Him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Now He says, we then. That's really making a statement or drawing a conclusion based on what came before that. You can go back up into verse or chapter 5, the last part of that, and see what He's talking about. But I want you to see the point that we have fellowship with God. And not only with God, but the Bible says we do with Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 9. 1 Corinthians 1, 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And back over to 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 is another passage that talks about that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. In 1 Corinthians 10:16 is another passage that talks about that. Well, Donnie, what's the point? The point is we have fellowship with God. Not only do we have fellowship with God, we have fellowship with His Son. And not only do we have fellowship with His Son, Son, the Bible says we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any vows of and mercies. But notice that it's God who dictates upon what basis fellowship is shared between Him and others. I don't make the rules relative to that. Neither do you. God is legislated by His Word, and it's up to you and I to be in harmony with what the book says. God's already stated upon what basis individuals have fellowship with Him. God has already stated upon what basis we are to have fellowship one with another. And so, we can't read a passage and say, well, I don't like that passage, and decide we're going to do things differently. If we do, we're caught in sin, and God's not pleased with that. And we want to be pleasing to God, right? And so, keep that in mind. Again, 1 John 3, or 1 rather, verses 3 and then verses 6 through 7. I like to illustrate it this way with individuals. If we're walking in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with Him as long as we're in the light. And not only that, but we have fellowship with one another. If we have fellowship with God and we're walking in the light, well, we have fellowship with those of like precious faith. But keep in mind, it's on that stipulation, as long as we're walking according as His Word says. But notice again, the stipulation of it. Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. You're familiar with this passage. At least most of you are anyway, if not all of you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Remember, and reprove them, Ephesians 5:11. Well, how do you do that? Or by what means can you do that? Notice verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. You don't reprove the unfruitful works of darkness with what you think about it or what I think about it, or, well, that's what my preacher said, that's what Donnie said, or that's what my Bible class teacher said. But those things ought to be reproved by Scripture, by what the Bible says. And if we keep that in mind, that will leave a lot of emotion out of things. And we understand that God has the authority. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, begin with verse 1, he says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead in His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. Why do that, Timothy? Why would Paul write that to Timothy? Notice verse 4 or 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now tonight we'll talk more about that, because we're going to talk about the subject of gainsayers. And we'll touch on what Paul is writing to Timothy in that passage. But fellowship can be broken. I can be walking in the light according to what His Word is saying and have fellowship with God. But then an individual can separate themselves from a right relationship with God by sin. And sin does today, by the way, what it has always done from the beginning, and that is separate individuals from God. God said, in the day that you touch it, you shall die. They that eat it, you shall die. Later she said, Eve did. We can't touch it. They didn't die physically that day, even though that would come upon them. But they died spiritually. They were separated from God by their sin. Well, it still does that today. God said through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, that sin separates. Remember that passage? Behold, the hand of the Lord is not short that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. It's not that God can't hear. It's not that God can't save. But then in verse 2, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. It separates us from God. It's what it did in the beginning. And your sin has hid your face, His face from you that He will not hear. That's what happens when we sin and we transgress what God would have us to do. And that's why we've got to repent of that. Ask God to forgive us of those things. Get back into the light, walking in the light according to His Word. And serve God all the days of our life. So that we can be in that right relationship with God. And it may very well be that Donnie gets himself out of a right relationship with God. Whereby you are still in a right relationship with God, but I'm not. What are you to do about that? What do I do about that? Well, hopefully I won't stay in sin. At least I want to go to heaven. And hopefully you will love me enough to teach me what's true. To teach me what's right. So that I can make correction of it. And it goes both ways. We can put anybody you want to in there. However you want to slice it. My point about that is that God has put the stipulations upon what fellowship is and how it's to be extended. And we either walk in the light according as He is in the light or we don't. Because remember the passage, if we do not the truth, if we don't walk in the light, we deceive ourselves, we lie and do not the truth. In 1 Corinthians 6:14-15, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't be tied together. I know that raises a lot of questions. Well, what does it mean to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers? At what point do you sever ties with an individual or take a step back and not be involved in some things? And Lord willing, we'll talk about that in our last lesson, which will cover some objections that are raised to practice in church discipline and some questions that go along with that. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God. And they shall be my people. In other words, what business does Lot have with darkness? Now he's asking these really rhetorical questions that are to ask them or to answer them. Obviously, you look at it, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Well, none. What communion hath light with darkness? None. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Or infidel is an unbeliever. Some versions render it that way. Well, none. When you line those up, and you make a contrast of those, this is the fellowship that's sin. He's saying don't do that. Don't participate in things that are not right. Come out from among them and be as separate, Paul would write. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. I think sometimes we lose sight of the fact in the body of Christ that God expects the church to be pure in doctrine and morality. That's what God desires. In fact, He demands it. That we be pure in doctrine, 2 John 9. That we be pure in morality, Ephesians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and following, and a host of other passages that talk about that. And to not do things that are wrong. Now, someone said, well, preacher, you're saying that I can live perfect and I can never sin. No, I'm not saying that. In fact, I would be foolish and just absolutely not telling you the truth if I said that you could live as to never do wrong. I think when we make statements like that, we forget about the fact that we're growing. And sometimes we do things wrong and we didn't know better about it. Does that mean that it was right? No. Certainly we grow. And we certainly ought not be in the business of deliberately choosing to do wrong. And will that happen? Probably so. Will an individual lose their temper? I sure have. I don't know if I'm the only one that has done that. But in the past, I've lost my temper. And I didn't say anything wrong, but the way I said it sure was wrong. We've got to think about those things and do what's right. But when things are not followed that are right, and individuals do wrong, and simply will not repent of those things, God expects us to move on that and to do what He would have. Now, He's told us what to do. We're going to get to that. He's told us how to do it. He's told us to who to do that for. And He's told us what to do when an individual says, "You're right, I'm wrong, I'm sorry. I repent of that. Pray for me." He's told us how to handle that too. 2 John 10:11. "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed." Why? "For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deed." Now, of course, don't encourage that. Don't participate with that. Fellowship. Study that. Do a word study on fellowship and the balance of it. The point of the lesson this morning, as I started in the beginning, was just to simply get us to see that we have fellowship with God, with those of like precious faith, with Christ, with the Holy Spirit, as long as we walk in the light as He is in the light. And that we can sever that fellowship, that relationship. Should say the fellowship when we walk in darkness. But then what happens when an individual says, "I know that I'm walking in darkness," or "You've not convinced me"? What happens when an individual errs, they sin, and they're no longer walking in the light as He is in the light? Lord willing, we'll talk about that in next week's sermon. Study this. There's only a few passages in the New Testament where it's talked about. The Lord talked about it, Paul talked about it, and at least three of his writings. And see what you can find out as we think about how to administer church discipline so that in the end a soul will be saved. That's the motive. Perhaps you're here this morning, you never obeyed the gospel of Christ. There's only one way to become a Christian. And the Bible says that in order to do that, you have to hear the gospel. Romans 10:17. You can't obey what you don't know. You must hear it. Be taught it. Paul talked about that. Romans 10:17. He talks about in the passage, how can they believe in Him whom they have not heard? How can they believe without a preacher? In other words, you've got to be taught about it. You've got to hear it. So then faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? John 8:24. Do you believe that? Willing to repent of your sins? Turn from what is wrong and begin to do that which is right according as His Word instructs you. Acts 17:30 and Luke 13:3. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32-33. And be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. And when you do that, the Lord will add you to His church that He purchased with His own blood. Acts 2:47. Acts 20:28. We stand at the ready to help you. Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away, turned your back on the Lord. You're not living as you should. Why not repent of those things? Make confession to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness. Like Simon was told to do in Acts 8:00. God has blessed you with an opportunity. Why not come right now?